Ball Not Court Podcast. Cortez Paulus here. Kevin Carter over Skype. Kevin Carter, good afternoon, sir. How goes it, sir?
What up? It's going.
Hey, man.
A little chilly outside, but it's going.
Oh, man, it feels great outside, man. I was going to go.
No, it don't. It feels great Sunday outside. Now it's cold.
I was going to go run, but then at the park that I go to, they had this big event going on with, I guess, football rec. So there was no way. I was like, I ain't going to this. So I just went to the gym for like an hour and 15 minutes. I was like, I wanted to run. Good weather day. You're not going to sweat as much, you know, but they got this jamboree and have food trucks out there and everybody, oh, yeah, and their mother's cousins playing football.
Yeah. You don't want to walk around when there's food trucks.
No, I was trying to get there.
Because once you get done running, then that completely just goes away with why you ran, because you're going to stop at the food truck. Yeah. It's like a prerequisite. Food truck stop.
Yep, which I'm doing good right now because I'm actually drinking a smoothie while I'm doing the podcast. Oh. So
I'm drinking a Dr. Pepper.
Hey, one of us is trying to watch our figure, and that'll be me. So, Kevin.
Hey, I don't want to hear it. Three times a week now, I've been working out at the house for at least an hour, hour and a half a day. So I don't want to hear this. Everyone looking out for their figure. I already got almost a flat stomach again now, so I don't even want to hear about it. And I still weigh the same.
We can't do the New Year, New Me, man. I can't do that. No New Year, New Me.
Oh, you can't. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it all you want to. But my thing is, I just need to work with the dumbbells and everything just to tone up. I don't need to get stronger. I just need to get everything defined. Gotcha. And I got mad because y'all kept going, oh, you got a little belly. Nah, no more. y'all can't say that mess no more. Yeah. Ain't no little belly there anymore.
You like to mess with Kev. Kev is, he's had a little gut going. I was like, man, is that a little gut? I mean,
not
what
anymore,
happened, man.
Anymore.
Hey, Kev, hitting that it's New Year, New Me mantra with the weight, losing the weight, boy.
Well, I'm not losing weight. It's I'm gaining. I'm still the same weight. I'm just look different now. I'm gaining muscle stuff like I was in the military, where I was at the same weight, but I looked bigger. And now I get them resistant bands. I put them around the couch leg, and then I do a bunch of sit-ups with the resistant bands. So I can do more. You can do more sit-ups with them because you don't get as tired. Because the resistant bands, why it helps you pull when you pull back, it helps you come forward. So it's still the same thing. You can just do more because you're having that help you come forward. So I do about 100 of those.
And it
don't hurt. It just hurts my damn legs because they old. And you keep them bent like that for a while, it gets old. But yeah, if you take the resistant bands, put them around the chair leg or put them around like a couch leg or something that'll hold you, then put your feet right on that leg and then just go up and down with the resistant bands. When you're coming back, you get the resistance. But when you're coming up, it helps you crunch up faster. So that's a little tip so you can do more and not tire yourself out.
Hey, Trainer Kev, let's go. I like that. All right, man. Well, hey,
Try doing 100 of them things though, and see how you feel afterwards.
Ooh. Oh man. Hey. I just got done doing some sit-ups myself. I ain't doing 100.
Austin did 30 with him the other day.
Oh, there you go.
So if that tells you how it works to help somebody who usually can't do a sit-up, Austin did 30 of them the other day. So that tells you all you need to know about it. But it's actually really good. You just get the high resistant bands and just go at it.
Gotcha. Hey man, let's talk about Super Wild Card Weekend here. So listen, I think for one of the episodes of the NFL preview, I have one with you, and the other one I did not. I guess this slipped my mind that I forgot they added an extra team that can make the playoffs.
Yeah,
but I forgot that was taking effect this year, so.
They added the one extra team and only gave one team the bye.
The bye, correct?
This week. Because usually it's just four teams playing this weekend from each conference. Now it's six teams playing for each conference and one team's got the bye.
Gotcha.
Because they put seven teams in the playoffs now in each league instead of six.
Well, hey, man, this first game features is Saturday, 4:30, the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Cincinnati Bengals. The Las Vegas Raiders had, let's just say the Las Vegas Raiders had one particular fan base sweating bullets.
Oh, the Pittsburghs. Oh, and by the way, Pittsburgh Steelers, you're welcome. Just wanted to tell y'all, you're welcome. Because all this madness wouldn't have happened if the Jaguars wouldn't have beat the Colts.
Yep.
So for everybody to enjoy that Sunday and all the craziness that happened with it, you're welcome. This is the only time I could tell anybody you're welcome for a Jaguar game. But yeah, everybody. speaking of that, to get off topic, have you watched the Hard Knocks episode from the midseason of Indianapolis Colts? If you just watch any of the episodes, watch the last one because it's the Jaguar game.
Boy.
Press, cussing, mad. They were like, Leonard went, these motherfuckers are having fun. They suck. Why are we letting them have fun?
Okay, so I guess I need to watch that.
Look, it's the only time I've really got to smile this year about anything. So, that one was... That was pretty fun, and that game went to show that we probably have something there with Trevor. So yeah. I was that game gave me a little boost. But now hearing who they talking about as coaches and stuff like that, which we could talk about that after the playoff stuff. So let's go. Let's go to the playoffs. Because I'll be talking to that for about 20 minutes.
The Las Vegas Raiders and the Cincinnati Bengals here. Yeah, man, this game right here, what are some of your storylines that stand out about both of these teams that you can think of on top of your head?
Well, one, how lucky is it that the Raiders are there? Because they got dang lucky that they were even in the spot to get in there. Mm-hmm. And two, you knew they were going to run the clock out at the end of the game, and the Chargers coach is an idiot for calling a timeout.
Dumb.
Like the clock was going to run out, dude. They were going to run it out. They were going to take the tie. Pittsburgh was going to be out. That's the reason I was mad at the coach for calling a timeout, because that means Pittsburgh got in, and I hate Pittsburgh. So I was like, God darn it. But no, the thing with the Raiders is they lucky to get there. So they're playing with house money right now, because they were like, they want guys that just show up and they're like, oh, we just glad to be here. So they're playing with house money. So they're going to be playing with nothing to lose. The Bengals on the other hand got hot. They got hot. Jamar Chase just came out of nowhere. He come from the preseason where he couldn't catch a cold. Or COVID, if you want to say that, since we're in this new age. He couldn't catch COVID. Now he catches everything. and he just goes nuts. So the Bengals look real good to me. Their defense has kind of picked up a little bit. So yeah, well, you got one team that's lucky to be there and one team that was expected to be there, especially with the way they were playing.
Yeah, the Raiders too, especially with the luck as well. And they dealt with a lot of adversity this year. So, I mean, they could afford it any time, you know, with John Gruden and Henry Ruggs III. So, you know, they fired a head coach for saying derogatory comments about the NFL. He's the NFLPA commissioner.
They fired a coach for being an idiot.
I'm talking about Dee Morris.
Like we did. So. We fired our coach for being an idiot. They fired their coach for being an idiot. So
then Henry Ruggs III.
Oh yeah, that was
that was unfortunate tragedy. But you know, listen, they had to cut him. But besides that, it's just, you know, I give the Raiders a lot of credit because they could have folded at any time with all this stuff that happened there, and they end up just pulling together and find a way to win. So
and the Chargers are the ones that folded.
Yeah,
they had everything going for them, but the Chargers also had a lot of injuries and COVID stuff happen to their defense as well, that kind of set them back a little bit. A couple of games there, they were without Eckler, who's arguably their best offensive player besides their quarterback. Yeah. So it set them back when they got hit. They got hit at the wrong time with COVID. If it was at the beginning of the year, they could have maneuvered through it, but they needed those guys at the end of the year. And when those guys went out for those couple of games, they were screwed.
Yeah,
they couldn't do anything on offense.
And as Kevin mentioned about, you know, the Bengals got hot. Well, Joe Burrow, the last two games, he threw 525 yards against the Ravens.
You know, ridiculous.
Which you just mentioned a lot. That went to Jamar Chase. The Ravens, he also against the Chiefs, he threw 446 yards. So this guy was just on a tear.
It's ridiculous.
So the Bengals, who has been in the NFL gutter for a while, very happy for their fans to see their team at least be, you know, a serious threat. You know, there's not this one and done.
They the champs of the division.
Right, and a division that is definitely, you know, a lot of people thought, well, Baltimore can come out of here, or maybe Pittsburgh can get hot. Cleveland's was good.
Baltimore got ate up with COVID and injuries. Mm-hmm. Cleveland got ate up with Baker Mayfield's shoulder exploded. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh just lucky to be there with Ben Roethlisberger's old ass still playing quarterback.
So, yeah, there's plenty of storylines for, you know, the Bengals to get here. And that's the good thing about the NFL. Me and Kevin always mention about it. It's just the parity that you can see with stuff like this. You
know, except if you're my team. If you're my team, we don't have any parity. We just fucking suck.
Well, you know, I did see a graphic, and this is going to make you feel good, actually, Kevin. Your team against my team, which is the Denver Broncos, y'all made the playoffs more recently than us. So I saw a graphic where, like, these are the teams that didn't make it. And I think the Broncos was the first one out, so... So the Broncos
We made it in 2017.
Yeah.
But before that, it was 10 years.
Right. Yeah.
That
for
we
sure.
Had
yeah.
To wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 2007 was the last one, and then 2017 was this one. At least we won a playoff game. Last time, because this game is between two teams that haven't won a playoff game in a very long time. The last time Cincinnati, I think, has won a playoff game is 1990.
Oh, my goodness.
Time the Raiders have won a playoff game was the year they went to the Super Bowl and took on the Bucks. So 2002.
That's right. This is the Bengals that had Marvin Lewis in all those years, and they had great teams, but they could not win in the first round for nothing, right?
They went to the playoffs like 5-6 years in a row and didn't win a playoff game.
That's right. Dude, that is crazy. Damn. Yep. I'm sitting thinking, like, they made it to the playoffs before that, but
they just haven't won a game. They haven't won it. So something's got to give, because one of these teams has to win this playoff game.
Exactly so. Kevin, also to mention, the Raiders rushing game is to keep an eye on. You know, they had against, you know, Josh Jacobs is the catalyst for this, but, you know, They had 174 yards against the Chargers, whose defense is suspect. But then they had a good, you know, a good rushing attack against Denver, who they had 160 yards. So so that's how they can keep going against Bengals and trying to slow down and play a time possession clock here against the Bengals. That's probably a new way to neutralize that, correct? But as you say, what you say, you say good luck.
Good luck. It ain't going to happen. Bengals are going to get their first playoff win since 1990.
Hey, Kevin says, screw all the fluff. The Bengals will win. You know what? I sure exactly. do. The Bengals will exactly. win.
We could go into this all we want to. It's just the Bengals are better. So fair the fun. Bengals are going to – they got their home game. The Raiders are coming in there just barely squeaking into it. Yeah, they're playing with house money, but I just don't think they got the weapons to deal gotcha. With to do with the Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, let's go on to the next game. That Saturday, you have an 8:15 game against a rematch of a rematch of a rematch. The New England Patriots versus the Buffalo Bills, part three.
What is the Nickelodeon game? I forgot which game the Nickelodeon game is.
Let me see one of them because they got this on the networks here. Nickelodeon game is happened to be the 49ers and the Cowboys, but it's not one of these Saturday games.
They should have chosen.
Well, wait. I tell you this. You know, you're going well. They weren't going to choose the Steelers game.
Oh, hell
you
no,
know,
no, 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 no.
You
no.
know why, but yeah. we're not going to say it.
Yes.
No. So, anyways, back on topic here, but Kevin. So, some of your storylines for this game, the Patriots and the Bills. What you think about Matt Jones here going on recently to end the season?
You could tell it got well. You played the Jaguars, and that was their get right game, basically. But before you played the Jaguars, they were struggling a little bit. But with the Patriots, we all know, come playoff time, it's about two things: running the football, playing good defense. And we all know who the best coach in the league is. At preparing for the playoffs and putting his guys in the right situations to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's Bill Belichick. So Mac is just going to have his same solid little game plan, dink and dunk, try to find what he can, use his play action, see if he can find some stuff down the field because they already beat Buffalo once. So well, they beat them in that game where the wind was blowing 337 miles an hour and no one threw the football anywhere. So so I don't think we're going to get a game like that, but it's going to be I think this is going to be a pretty good game just because of the coaching aspects of it.
What'd you think about the Buffalo Bills run defense against them? Because Damian Harris shred him last time for 103 yards and three touchdowns with 18 touches.
It's because the wind was blowing so hard it was blowing them out of their holes. Like, as soon as they hiked the ball, the wind blew. And, like, the defenders were just falling over. But, no, they got to try to keep that intact or that in control because, that you know, that's where the Patriots are going to go to, especially with a young rookie quarterback, and they want to just make it simple for him. So, it's going to be a good chess match.
Yeah, do we get a good Josh Allen game here or a bad Josh Allen game here?
I think you get mediocre Josh Allen. Like, he'll throw a touchdown and may run for one, but I think he's going to do something stupid too that ends up really costing him somewhere in it. So I think you get the mediocre game, but the one stupid thing he does, everybody's going to remember.
Yeah,
and then they're going to be like, yeah, and all the Buffalo Bills, well, he messed up the game right there. And then they're all going to want to call for his head after they loved him all season long and last year and all that stuff. Because Buffalo fans don't know nothing. And Buffalo fans have all those concussions from jumping through tables.
So. they came to Jacksonville this year, right?
Yeah, idiots. Yeah, they lost.
They were jumping tables then.
That's the key part of the thing. They lost.
Yeah, yeah.
To the Jaguars. If you were one of the three teams that lost to the Jaguars, you should be ashamed of yourself. So Miami, Buffalo, and Indianapolis, you should all be ashamed of yourselves.
Oh, man. That's but funny.
Thank you. Thank you, Detroit, for winning your game so we could still get the number one pick. Thank you.
Hey, eventually it was going to even out, wasn't it? Anyway, okay, so this game here, who you got? You got the pass or the Bills?
You know I can't go against Bill, so I'm going to take the Pats.
Got you. I'm going to go with the Bills, man. I feel like that. Go ahead and get this out here. Hey, Bills losing the first round, they got some serious questions to ask. They was a Super Bowl favorite at the beginning of the season, but
yep.
I think this one they get out. Like you said, you're right, though. That Belichick, he just does a dang good job at, you know, forcing you to play against your weaknesses and stuff like that. If the run defense doesn't show up again for them, or that them is the Bills, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a major problem. So, all right, let's go on to this next game. And I mean, there's a lot of storylines in this one here too. But I mean, it's pretty much the same thing Kevin mentioned before. You know, they're lucky just to be here. The Philadelphia Eagles, who are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a game on Sunday at 1 p.m. As this one I mentioned before, you know, storylines that I see particularly, Kevin, I got the bus injuries all over the place. Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones.
Over the place.
Gino Bernard. Yeah, Godwin. Devontae David.
They don't have no receivers.
No, none whatsoever. So
except Mike Evans and Gronk, but receiving wise goes, it's just the Antonio Brown situation, all of that stuff. Byron looking for head coaching gigs. It's a lot of stuff going on there.
It's a lot of distractions with the Bucs right now.
But they do have number 12.
They do. So yeah, he does keep everything together.
A lot of distractions go away when you got number 12. But on the flip side of that, he has looked a little human in some of these past few games.
Human, or is he coming back down to earth and realize that he is what, 40 plus years old as a quarterback out there still playing football?
Or he's you didn't let me finish. I was about to go, or he's old.
I'm sorry for interrupting, sir.
Yeah, or the age is just catching up with him, because he's getting hit a lot. He's getting hit a lot now, because as much as we talked about Leonard Fournette and everything, he's good at pass blocking, and he was good at picking up blitzes and stuff like that. So the guys that they had that were doing that, they're no longer back there running the ball or helping him out. So it's weird for the Bucs. I expect them to get through this game, no problem. But because Philadelphia is just glad that their quarterback didn't get crushed by all them people in Washington. So they should just be glad they're there, because I don't think Philly's going to win this game. They may keep it close for a little bit, but after that, I think it's just the Bucs are going to take over there. But it's going to be screwy there for a little bit, but I think the Bucs end up cruising towards the end.
Yeah, to back up your claim, I get what you're saying about the Eagles. The Eagles are 0-6 against teams that are in the playoffs, so they really just can't have no – they have – I personally, can they do the unthinkable? They have no shot, no chance, whatever you say. I don't care. This is a game that is going to probably be over. I don't care what all the Bucs probably they're having right now. This game be over in the second quarter. I'm calling that right now. As much as I want the Eagles to pull up the upset, this is not happening.
The Bucs aren't the Bucs of last year.
No, they're not.
We can everybody can agree on that. Between injuries and just age and stuff, they're not the same team that they were last year going into the playoffs. I think they get through this round, and depending on their matchup the next round, I think that's where it might end for them, and then you'll see all these guys jump off the bandwagon.
Yeah, if I had to choose the worst playoff team right now between the Eagles and the Raiders, Probably, and Pittsburgh got a running for there too. I'm definitely going with the Eagles. Probably the
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's bad. Pittsburgh. Their only saving grace is they got Najee Harris. That's their only saving grace.
That's the only one. But yeah, between those three teams, I got the Eagles. They just happen to be there. They get
They get a participation trophy.
Yeah, participation trophy for them. But here's something that, you know, I like to throw out a little history note that I read up on. History bodes well. We were playing the Eagles. The McNabb and crew went back to Super Bowl 39. That was in Jacksonville, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they won against them. But then Eagles got revenge back in 2017. And that's when they won with not Carson Wentz, the backup quarterback.
Mick Foles.
Thank you, Nick Foles. I was trying to think.
You're welcome. Trust me, I can't forget his ass.
Thank you. So,
but then there's a lot of history between them before, though, because for a bunch of years there, the Bucks and the Eagles would always play in the NFC Championship game or somewhere in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and the Eagles always got them. They would always get them, and then that one year finally. The Bucks broke through, so yeah, you never know.
You just never know, man. So,
but I know this year they ain't winning. So.
All right, your next wild card game, 4:30. This is the San Francisco 49ers at the Dallas Cowboys. Kevin, what's some of your storylines in this game so far for the season for the Cowboys and the 49ers?
Is Deebo Samuel playing? That's the biggest key for the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, is he questionable?
I think they said he's been practicing, but he was injured. But that dude's been the catalyst for everything that San Francisco does on offense. Mm-hmm. So the big key for San Francisco is Deebo playing. And for Dallas, it's can they keep it up on the defensive side of the ball and on the offensive side of the ball? Can they keep it up without doing their usual choke job that they usually do?
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Lately, it's been Dallas's. Yeah, everybody's gung-ho for them, and then they – and we're all just waiting on the from Dallas. So,
yep. Hey, Kevin, I'm with you there. Listen, I'm first of all, I want to talk about Dak resurgence. You know, Prescott has come back with this gruesome season calendar that he had last year, ankle injury that he had. You saw his ankle just rolled up, and it was just gruesome. So, for him to come back and do what he did, you know, he had a 37-10 touchdown interception ratio, 68% completion percentage, nearly 4,500 passing yards, and 60 in play. He leads number one NFL offense. So, gotta give that credit.
Don't forget, his shoulder was all screwed up.
Exactly. So, I mean, this dude, what he came back from has been impressive. Kevin, I'm with you, man. I don't know how to read the Cowboys. I don't. They beat the crap out of, you know, the star team they're supposed to. But like the Cardinals.
But they don't beat the good teams.
Exactly. That's what I'm worried about. Like, did you see what against the Cardinals?
It's the same Dallas stuff that they always do. Like, it's the same Dallas stuff that they do lately. They look like world beaters against people that they should be world beating. But then when it comes time to play somebody with some umph to them, it's like they choke. They don't know what to do. And do you attribute it to coaching? Do you attribute it to the guys just getting in their head that they're better than whatever? But I don't know. But they've been like that for years now, though. It's not like the old Cowboys where they walk out on the field and they know they're about to beat the crap out of you.
Yeah.
This is a different watered down version of them because they're good everywhere. They have the talent on every piece, but sometimes they forget that they're good. And then it all just gets screwed up.
It is wild, man, because they are a legit. They're a fun team to watch. But I'm just leaning more towards pretenders right now. They they they're And this ain't an easy matchup either, playing the 49ers.
The 49ers play ball control. They play smart. Garoppolo's not forcing things like he was earlier in the year. They're running the ball okay. They're playing defense, and they got one of those guys on offense that's just a weapon that you don't know what they're going to do with him. That's why Debo Samuel's so key to this game. But I'm still going to go with Dallas. Yeah, I'm still going to go with Dallas, but I'm just like, there's a little something in me that's like, if Debo has one of them showing out game, Dallas is going to be in trouble. Dallas does have the horses on defense, though, to keep up with it.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%, man. And I'm looking forward to matchup with, if he does, is he cleared to play? It's Debo Samuel versus Diggs. So, no, we'll see that action line up.
And the thing with Debo is you're not going to have him lined up against Diggs. That dude moves around so much constantly that it's hard to get anybody on him. Like, you can't you're chasing him around the field. Like, you don't know where he's going to line up at. One play, he'll be at receiver. Another play, he'll be in the slot. The other play, he'll be in the backfield. One play, he'll play quarterback. And he plays everywhere. Yeah. He's thrown it. He's run it. He's caught it. He's kicked it. He's done everything with it.
Hey, you're not lying, man. So, yeah, I'm with you. The Cowboys get this one.
And somebody had him on their fantasy team, and he was scoring points all over the place for him. And
yeah, man, you know, that guy just know how to draft, don't he?
You lucked into a lot of shit.
I had a lot of injuries, man.
My whole team at the end of the season had COVID next to it.
Hey, listen, man. I would take Debo Samuel. I got that Amon Saint kid from Detroit, where he just went off too. And
who I had on my waiver wire, and somebody was before me.
Yeah, listen, hey, you should be. I got sweet justice for you.
Yeah, don't get me started because I'm still living.
Hey, we won't air it out, but I know you're upset.
He shouldn't have even been there.
Yeah. So speaking of the Cowboys 49ers, before we go to the next game, this is a first time at a matchup between two where the teams combined had the most Super Bowl combined. So
damn cool right they
nugget.
Did.
Yeah, pretty cool nugget, man. This is crazy. So. Should be a fun game between those two.
It's because Pittsburgh and New England haven't played yet.
All right. And for some odd reason, this is the primetime game. And I'm trying to understand why. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. This is at 8:15.
You really want to know why?
I mean, go ahead and tell me why.
One, it's probably a guy's last football game. The biggest star in the football game is playing in this game. So you've got the biggest star and a old biggest star that's about to play his last football game. Ta-da.
Story. Okay, so that basically just covered storylines for all the cover there. So
there's the storyline. Young gun, old gun. Young gun trying to get back to the Super Bowl. Old guy trying to get back to the Super Bowl before he dies.
Yeah. To watch.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't even got to go into this game. Pittsburgh, you're about to get your ass whooped.
As Kevin mentioned, Ben Laz Rodeo, Pat Mahomes changed styles this season. Steelers need TJ Watt to come up big because he's the NFL sack leader and tied Michael Strahan's record. But none of this matters because
you should have hoped was that the Chargers and the Raiders would have just knelt down because you guys don't want to play the Chiefs. So y'all should have been like, y'all just kneel. Y'all shouldn't have been so excited that y'all are making the playoffs. Tell your buddy that was jumping up and hugging you because he made the playoffs. I wouldn't have been too excited.
Listen,
because Kansas City is rolling. They got it going on both sides of the ball now, too. It's not just their offense. Yeah.
I was arguing with him, a good buddy of mine. I was arguing with a lady friend of mine on Twitter who's a big Steelers fan. And I'm just like, guys, this, I would be fine. Like, this is the biggest troll job that I've seen so far this year. I mean, they are literally, this game went to overtime. I did not imagine it was going to go to overtime. And they trolled Steelers fans. Steelers fans were sweating bullets, man. It was the funniest thing in the world.
If it would have ended in a tie, I would have just, I'd have died laughing. I was hoping so much. I was like, just kneel on it. I was like, just kneel. And then the guy called the timeout. And I was like, you idiot.
I was praying for a time, man. It didn't happen. Just it would have been so funny, man. It would have been so funny. But we oh my goodness. I can't believe that guy called timeout. Nevertheless, as you see, guys, we're not really talking about this game, Kansas City versus Pittsburgh, because we just think it's going to be a blowout. Big Ben's last hurrah ends in a thumping. So,
yes.
I can make a joke there, but I'm going to go on to the next game.
Yeah, kind of like he did some women in the bathroom. Oh! He's about to take a thumping.
This is why I love you, Kevin. You already knew what I was thinking. All right.
I will finish the sentence. I'm not worried about it.
Still a fan, come and jack up Ball Got Court podcast and jump me and Kevin. Let's go.
Whatever.
Monday night game. You got the Arizona Cardinals versus the Los Angeles Rams. Now this is going to be a good game here.
This will probably be the best game of the weekend, maybe.
Absolutely. Maybe. What's some of your storylines here? Well, it's on a week.
Who cares? It's a weekend. Some idiot thought. Let's have a playoff game on Monday Night Football. Oh, God, really? I got to listen to the Monday Night Football people again, but whatever. No, it's just Arizona. Can they get their mojo back from how they were at the beginning of the year? Because towards the middle, towards the end, they had the spurts of where they looked good again, but then they had the spurts of where they just looked looked bad. Mm-hmm. Mind you, a lot of them got COVID. A lot of them got injured. They're without the Hopkins now, which is a huge blow for them. But Kyler Murray has to keep the ball. He has to be smart with it, because this Rams defense is legit, especially at one cornerback. The other cornerback, suspect. One cornerback, really good. So you gotta watch it. You gotta know where your matchups are. You definitely got to run the football. James Conner will be back, so that's good for them. Can you believe he had like 16 or 17 touchdowns?
That's insane, man.
He was ridiculous. But yeah, they just got to make sure that they keep control of the ball. On defense, they got to limit Cooper Kupp. Yep. Like, who would have thought the best wide receiver in the NFL is White? Like, who would have thought? But flying, they got to keep.
Word, man.
Yeah. But you got to keep control of him. And you got to make sure that he stays. You just keep him limited. Mm-hmm. And you got to make sure that you control their run game. You got to make Matthew Stafford go into stupid Matthew Stafford mode.
Oh, absolutely.
Make him be playoff Detroit Matthew Stafford. Because if he goes into that mode, you got a good chance. And he looked a little suspect towards the end of the year. He was having a great MVP season into the last few weeks. You can see it fall off a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you gotta play smart. And this is gonna be a hard game for Arizona to get out of it. But this is also the hardest one it's going to be for me to pick, because I don't really like the Rams.
It's just how it is.
But I still think the Rams right now are the better team, especially at this point in the season.
Let me add some commentary to this. This is a tough game to pick because these two have just been going at each other for this whole year and stuff like that, going back and forth, you know, who's the division winner and everything like that. So, primetime Murray, is he set to come back? Because week 1-7, he was completing almost 74% of his passes. After that, he was completing 75%. Now, I didn't know that he did deal with some injuries and stuff like that, so that does add to that.
What's the common denominator in all of that? One guy went down and was gone, and that was Hopkins.
Yep.
That's the big
dynamic of it.
That's the big just look at teams when they're – look at Tom Brady when his receivers were going down. Like when Mike Evans didn't play and then Godwin got hurt, what happened to Tom? He looked normal because he's throwing to people you never heard of before.
Yeah, you're right. To add on top of that, too, Aaron Donald. Go ahead, Cal.
It happens to everybody. This year especially was a year that everybody had to deal with some type of weird shit going on with their football team. Mm-hmm. Like, so it was just how you overcame it. Every team that's in the playoffs, minus a couple of them that just got really freaking lucky, got through the stuff that they needed to do. And got through that, the injuries and the COVID and all the stuff that they had coming on, and they got through it unscathed to where they can make it to where they are now.
Definitely, man. So, hey, and then also I was going to mention, you know, Aaron Donald loves to play Kyler. He's got the third most sacks against him. He got 5.5 sacks given during his 9 games that he played him. Only he sacked Wilson and Matt Stafford more. So he loves playing Kyler Murray, and if you get Kyler Murray on the run here, I mean, he's dangerous on the run, but you got him like overthinking and stuff like that. The pressure, it's gonna be a long day for Kyler. But listen, this is I wish this was a Sunday night game. They should have made the Pittsburgh and Kansas City game on Monday. That one should have been on Monday. This one should have been Sunday.
They should have just put the Pittsburgh game on Nickelodeon.
He can't, Kevin. He's got kids. We already know. You know, well, I'm not.
Well, this is, look, I'm just trying to think of what game is going to be the biggest joke. You should have put it on Nickelodeon.
Well, I mean, they got to put – I don't understand why they put the 49ers and Cowboys on there. They should have put maybe.
Because Dak's kid friendly. That's why.
Yeah. That's cool. Good with the kids. So,
and they got a guy named Debo on the other side. So only people our age remember Debo as somebody completely different that'll snatch a chain.
You know what? I actually got a good theory why they put this game on Nickelodeon, because they do the slime cam whenever they score a touchdown. So it's gonna be a high scoring game possibly. So you know what? That's probably why they did it. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't trust the Rams either. Oh, this is a tough one to pick, man. I'm gonna go with the Cardinals.
Yeah. The bad part is I don't trust neither one of these guys right now.
Because
no matter how good Matthew Stafford has played this year, I still don't trust him. It's one of those games where I'm just like, who do I pick? Do I pick the team that was struggling going to the end of it? Or do I pick the other team that was struggling going to the end of it? Or do I pick the team that has the most injuries or the least amount of injuries?
This shouldn't be a first-round matchup. This shouldn't be a first-round matchup, but it is.
It's just the way Shit, if these teams would have been in the AFC, one of them would have been like a 3 seed and the other one would have
been. Exactly. Me and Kevin have been saying this pretty much the whole season, that the NFL is just a gauntlet. It's just a gauntlet.
But I hate when teams that are in the same division play each other in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, it sucks, man.
I just don't like it. I don't like Buffalo and New England playing each other, and I don't like these two playing each other. So it's just it is what it is.
I think I'll just take
the Rams because they've got the least amount of injuries at key positions that you really need to worry about.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's Yeah, before we go, you want to talk about some other stuff? A little bit? I know you say you want to go off, sign off on some things.
Let's talk about, well, we got how many coaching changes? Like a quarter of the league is going to be going through coaching changes.
Giants.
With
Dolphins.
Giants. Ready? Here we go. Here we go. Giants, Texans, Broncos, Jaguars. Who else is?
What's the Texans on there too, right? Texans?
Yeah, Texans. Yeah, Texans are on there. Giants. It's like a quarter of the teams are up. Miami. What a bunch of idiots. That one was stupid.
Miami was down 5-4. I'm sorry. Oh yeah, the Bears.
Look here. If you're firing that guy, and I'm talking about Miami, you've already got somebody in mind. If you're letting him go,
that's right pretty then, quick. Yeah, that's pretty quick to do that. So they got to be have somebody in mind to do that so quick.
Yeah, I'm like you have to have somebody.
I know
in mind if you're firing that dude right then, and yeah. We already know the Giants are going to try. Here's right now the leader for Flores is the Texans. That's who the leader in the clubhouse is. Why? Because Deshaun Watson wants to play for him.
Mm.
So they're thinking, hey, we keeping Deshaun. We didn't trade him this year for a reason. We're going to keep him. If we can get through all this madness with his court stuff and everything, we hire his coach. He's not going to want to leave. So he right now is number one on their to-do list, per se, if you want to say it like that. Wow. So we'll have to keep an eye on a bunch of these things. As far as here goes, I don't know who we hiring. Like, I have no clue. All I know is if they hire Bill O'Brien and they keep that idiot GM that we got right now, I am putting, and it's official, I am saying it on here, I am putting out my resume for new fandom.
Because, and this is for what, coach, again?
This is if they hire Bill O'Brien and they keep Bulky as their GM and they hire Bill O'Brien as their coach, I am resigning and I am putting in a new resume for people to approve me as a fan of their football team.
Bill O'Brien was the former coach.
Because I am sick and tired of the stupidity of the front office of this football team. And I am tired of the stupidity of an owner who knows absolutely nothing about football. I'm tired of it. Literally, people in the league are telling you that your GM has caused coaches to leave. He calls Jim Harbaugh to leave San Francisco after taking them to Super Bowls and shit like that. He caused him to leave and go to college. Like, literally, Jim was like, nah, I'm out, dog. I don't feel like dealing with you. He sabotages people. No one likes him. And you're keeping him as your GM. For what purpose? I have no clue. Like, I'm over it, dude. I am legit over it. Mind you, I don't think they hire Bill O'Brien as the head coach. Mm-hmm. But, my God, just why you're interviewing a guy that's not even on anybody else's list is beyond me.
I think you and a few other Jazz fans, I saw tweet that Bill O'Brien is the coach. Y'all out. Like, y'all done.
Oh, yeah. I'm out like a mofo. I'm running out like Usain Bolt.
It's gonna be interesting to see what happens here.
But if you ask me who I would like to have as the head coach, I'm okay with Doug Peterson, the old Eagles coach, the one that won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I'm fine with him. I'm fine with him. I'm fine with Caldwell. If you want to bring him in, and I am really, really fine with Byron Leftwich.
That's what I hope y'all get.
Like, those are my top three guys. With Byron being number one. Like, I want Byron. Like, I legit won't buy it. Just for multiple reasons. Because when he left, he got shitted on by the office, the front office and shit, that, and the coaches that were here at that time. Like, he got dicked on. And I've always been a Byron Leftwich fan. Hell, I was the first person in Jacksonville to have his jersey because I found it in Tampa before it went on sale anywhere else. So, no, legit. I never told you that story.
No, I bought it
because this is when I was in the military. We drafted Byron. I was in the military. I was in Tampa. They got the jersey in Tampa before he signed with the team or anything. They already had it. So I was like, shit, I'm buying this thing because they don't have it in Jacksonville yet. So I bought it. They had the open practice. Byron signed, I think, that afternoon so he could come to the practice that was in the stadium. I was the only person that had the jersey on. And everybody's like, where'd you get that? Where'd you get? I'm like, I can't tell you. Like, I'm not going to tell y'all where I got this, but I got it.
Sources. Sources.
Like, I'm not going to tell y'all. They only have five of them. Mm-hmm. No. I had that before anybody else. It's like, where'd you get it? Where? Even the Jaguar people were like, where did you get that jersey from? I was like, I can't tell you either.
Oh, that's great, man.
But I like Byron. So I would love to see Byron come back here. Mm-hmm. And I think he would do well for Trevor. I think he's definitely a player's coach. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think he's what they need here. To start over and start afresh and start anew. And I know Byron will bring in a lot of people that is going to help him as far as assistants go. So that's the one I'm really, really, really clamoring for. And I will be happy with it. So, but if I'm happy, if it's any of those three names I mentioned, even Kellen Moore will be fine with me too. Like, I just want if you're going to bring in a retread, bring in one of them retreads that's had a lot of success. If you're going to bring in a new guy, bring in a new guy that's young, that's upbeat, and that'll have us going, you know what? Let's get behind this dude and let's go. But there's just so many open spots that you have to snatch these guys up before it gets too stupid.
Yeah. I know a few coaches.
Who do you want?
Let me just say, first of all, I am so glad that we got rid of Vic Fangio. Listen, he does a great job on the defense side of the ball. He really brought the best out of his defense, but his offense and his coordinator that he had on there just did not run a stink of. They had capable 2,000 yards running backs, and they just didn't use them where they should have. So, quarterback situations were flush and everything like that, but listen, Vic Fangio is gone. Not down. You know, kicking a man while he loses his job. But in the day, this team that used to see in playoffs just hasn't been to the playoffs in like 5 years, now going on 6 years. So, names been thrown around for them. You know, I know we interviewed Lions DC Aaron Glenn. He'll be solid. I like Nathaniel Hackett. He's the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers.
That's another, so he used to be the coordinator here too. Mm-hmm. That's another name that I'd be okay with looking at as well for here. But he's a really good coach. I've always liked Hackett.
I feel like who's in the lead, they've been talking a lot about Dan Quinn.
I'm kind of fenced around that.
But I would like a stab at Kellen Moore.
Yeah, there you go. See?
So
now you're sounding like me.
Yeah, that will be okay. You know, I think we got pieces on defense to be there. I even think this first round draft that we projected to grab the Thibodeau kid from Oregon with the first pick. And we got one of the Rams first pick, too. So we got two first round picks this year. So
Hold on. You can take that Rams kid right out of the equation. Unless you're one of the first three picks in the draft, you ain't getting him. I mean, the kid from Oregon. Unless you're the first three pick, you ain't getting him.
Yeah, it's weird. I saw like a mock and a half drama. That's too low. But listen, I'll take it.
So if you want to take your pick and the other first round pick you have and trade it to us to get number one to make sure that you get him, by all means. Because this year, I don't want the number one pick. because there's nobody that you look at in this draft and go, this guy is going to change everything.
There's a difference maker, yeah.
Yeah, there's not that guy. Because if I'm doing any, if I keep the number one pick and I'm doing anything with it, I'm taking the tackle from Alabama. Mm-hmm. And that's who I'm taking if I'm the Jaguars.
Yeah.
If I'm keeping that pick, I'm taking that tackle. I'm not re-signing Cam Robinson. I'm taking the tackle. Walker Little has already proven over the last 3 weeks that he is going to be a good football player.
Invest in your quarterback. You're good. Right. Yeah.
And he is, and we have to invest and keep. Plus, it all depends on what happens in free agency as well.
Yep.
So this one's going to be a lot to me. As of right now, I'm like, trade the damn thing. Because you're sitting there, and if you can get some more future, do it. Because you got a quarterback that you're going to have to – you need to protect, you need to invest in, and we need to do stuff for him. Mm-hmm. The defensive side of the ball, we'll be able to fix. Once we are able to invest some money into it, but you have to help Trevor. With all your being, you have to help Trevor. Find somebody who can catch a godforsaken football. Please. Please.
I'll tell you what, we're going to be monitoring all of this stuff in the offseason here for, you know, the teams that are already in their offseason. So, coaching search already began. So, all this here is speculation. So, hey, we'll see where me and Cav teams are at going forward. So, Cav, anything you'd like to add before we get on out of here?
I heard a certain someone's coming back for your basketball team.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a little bit of rant before we close here. The Magic re-signed their guys back, their management staff. But listen, I'm all about continuity. So, you know, they wanted to rebuild. Let them see this thing through. A lot of fans are kind of 50-50 on them. Just like, wait, what? This is, and then fans are complaining about the whole, you know, listen, we're going to try to lose 70 games. Isn't it what y'all wanted? We trade Vooch, we trade Fournier, we trade Aaron Gordon. This is what y'all want. So shut up. We're going to deal with the rebuild. Anyways, Kevin mentioned that someone's coming back. I'm a side for Jalen Suggs. He's been struggling on the offense side of the ball. On the defense side of the ball, he's been solid. So it's good to have him back. We were getting video. Jonathan Isaac still like to be a ways away from playing. Markelle Fultz should be coming back. So, listen,
Jonathan Isaac needs to take the year off and just be done with it.
Stop
anybody speculating that he's going to come back anytime soon. Just let the man take the year off and be done with it.
Take the year off. You know, it is what it is. But I think what the Magic are doing, because it's obvious that they're tanking, they're trying to make sure they secure the bottom three odds, and then they go bring everybody back. So that way they have no chance to get the fourth worst record. They're trying to make sure they get top three, so they get one of the top three draft picks. Even the draft, any franchise players.
Plus they're even wanting to trade away some of their guys and try to get more first round picks.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to Oklahoma City.
It's basically
what they're trying to do. They want to Oklahoma City it and try to get as many of these first round picks that they can. Bad part is there's not a lot of college players right now that are catching people's eyes going, this dude's going to change a franchise.
No, not this year.
Like even the past few years, there's not a guy. What, the last guy, Zion Williamson, and he ate another guy from the next year that was going to be a franchise changer.
Which John Morant is passing him already, so it don't matter anymore. John Morant's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, Williamson ate. Williamson also ate John Morant. So, you don't have that guy that everybody goes, holy shit, this is the dude. This is the game changer. Especially the way basketball teams are constructed now.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you find that game changer, you don't find him in the draft. You find him, via free agency, or you find 15 of his buddies, and that's how you make your team. And it's just crazy now that y'all are trying to stack these things. And we told all these Magic fans, you ain't making the playoffs. And some people still thought they was going to make the playoffs.
No.
And it's just crazy. Reality, but. Man. The weirdest thing, this NBA season has just been weird because you see people's names that are on 10-day contracts, and you're like, why is this guy on a 10-day contract and coming back? Are they coming out of retirement? Are they did something happen?
Like Lance Stevenson, Joe Johnson.
Why did Mario Chalmers get a 10-day contract from the Heat? I don't think Mario even played.
Check on CL. He was pretty pissed about that.
I didn't care because all it was a body to come in and help practice. He didn't play. Yeah. Like, he didn't play any at all. It was to take the load off of people until everybody comes back. Like, I don't view
nothing. That's all.
I don't view none of these signings. Look here. I trust Pat Riley more than I trust anybody in the league when it comes to bringing in a guy, signing any of them, because all you got to do is watch. We watched the guy who signed a 10-game contract come in, score 27 points in his first game in a Heat uniform. And you're like, how do they do this? And it's like every game they do this with a different person. But this year has just been crazy for all kinds of people. Me and you went to the most expensive G League game that we have ever been to.
Oh, man.
Towards the end of the game, we thought they were going to come ask us if we wanted to go and play, because that's how into the bitch they were getting with people.
Matt Stress would get an MVP chance.
All jokes considered on him, he has been really good. Like he has been consistently really good since he's gotten his time to play, which I'm glad that he's gotten his time to play, because come playoff time, they're going to need a guy like him.
Absolutely.
So all these guys, the good part about all this sickness and all this stuff happening to the guys are getting their time to play. That way, when it comes time that they're needed to play, these guys are going to be able to slide right in, and they're not going to be able to miss a beat. Because usually in the playoffs, you've got guys who don't play a lot. Your bench is shortened to 8 guys. Now with all this stuff going on, your bench is going to be able to get extended, because we're going to be able to go 10 deep, and we're going to be able to run and get people tired, and our old guys can go and sit down while we bring in our young guys to go and play. Can you tell I'm more excited about basketball season now than I'm usually am?
Yeah, you got a good team. You got a really good team, and you got some young talent that you've been watching. So I told you, man, the Heat are, when I have a few of their games, they're pretty fun to watch, man.
I had to keep track of all of them. And I'm like, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Who's holy shit, that guy's good. Look at this crap.
No, even as a rival, like I'm sitting there watching Heat, I'm like, they find another undrafted player. Really?
Uh-huh.
Matt Struss and that your 7 kid.
And the center.
You got your seven kid.
Who came out of nowhere. You got Strauss, who came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. What's the other kid's name? What's his name? I forgot the other guy's name because they're so new, and they come in and Drake Martin or whatever his name is. Just somebody else. He comes on, and he comes out of nowhere and plays good too. And I'm like,
you're talking about Caleb Martin. Yeah, the twin. Yeah, Caleb Martin.
You got Martin, and then you know I'm going to mention this. And then you've got the 6th player of the year, the most improved player in all of basketball, Wonder Boy. Can he be your hero, baby?
Hey, I know it's good time for you and CL and all these fans down there.
This guy has become what you saw in the bubble.
Yeah.
And it's just like I tried to tell CL and all these people, you can't take what you saw last year, because he was coming off of all that bubble stuff and he played all that basketball and he's not used to it because it was his rookie year and everything like that. And it was a strange thing. Let him get a season where he can get his feet under him and see what happens. And then bam, now you see what happens. The kid is legit.
He can play. He can play. I was kind of skeptical, but he had shut me up. I'm like, now I just see a game. I'm like, okay, Ty Harry had a good game. I'm just not stunned by him anymore. The kid can play ball, man. Kudos on and Raleigh. And this is what y'all say, y'all management. Getting these guys, he was a mid first round pick, so it's a solid pickup.
Well, you wanted to draft him.
Yeah, I did. I sure did.
They were like, can we please draft him? Nope, you're not allowed to. When y'all didn't pick him, I was like, oh no. He kept dropping, and I was like, uh oh. I was like, do we get one? Do we actually finally we're able to, like, I don't know, draft somebody in the first round?
Yeah. Well, no, y'all was ahead of us. Because y'all got the pick ahead of us. And I was like, oh, y'all got him. But
Yeah. We did grab him before y'all did.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all was like two picks ahead of us. And I like Chuma. He still got a little older. But no, like I said, y'all got one in Tyler Hero. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Y'all got a solid one, my man.
Yeah, he's a dude. I'm a big fan of Tyler Hero.
Definitely.
But I always have been, unlike other people.
Call them out.
Yeah, I don't lose faith in folks. The only people I lose faith in are people you paid $90 million to do one thing.
Oh, man. You win some, you lose some. All right, guys. make sure you stay tuned with me and Kevin. Kevin, be back in the groove of things. We got NFL playoffs going into full effect, NBA playoffs are in the midst of the playoff run and all that. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to catch up on. All right, Twitter, you can follow us at Balls in Our Court. You can follow me at @NDMinusCP.
You can find me at KevinC2415.
All right, we're also on Facebook. Just type in Balls in Our Court Podcast there. You go to our Instagram. We at Balls in Our Court Podcast there. You go to anchor.fm /Paul or @NDMinusCP.podomatic.com. And we're also on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Windows, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, and many other sites as well, or Kevin like to say.
Wherever you listened to us before, you can listen to us there again.
Ta-da.
Ta fucking da.
Hey, anyway, always good to have Kevin back. We'll get back into the Google thing and get more content out here. And Kevin, good to have you back, sir. As always, Balls in Our Court Podcast. It's Kevin Carter and Cortez Paul. Enjoy the rest of y'all. Evening.
Evening, day, weekend, whenever you're listening to it.
Peace. I'm gonna go get some more.